this appeal and this pleading to the house of Israel, the children of Israel, to the Jews. And the Jews were those who were, of course, greatly blessed. And there were those who imagined that God's favor would always be toward them. Because after all, were they not those who were named as the people of God? And so they had, in a very real sense, an arrogance about them at times, presuming on God's grace and on God's mercy toward them. And so they expected to be delivered time and time again. And we see even at times when they took captivity, that while there were years in captivity, and maybe to some extent, but given up hope. But again, even when they turned again to the Lord, how often we find in repentance, and then the cycle goes on, and they go back to their old ways. And so they were living as if they were guaranteed future security with the Lord, whatever happened and whatever came their way, and even whatever they did themselves. As I said, despite the judgments and many of them and plagues and the captivity and so on, they still had this idea. And indeed, very often as well then, what was lacking with them was repentance. They didn't see at times any need to repent, despite how often they were told, despite how often that they saw the result of not repenting. It was so then for the children of Israel, for the Jews. But then, friends, can that not be true of ourselves? Can it not be true of us that there are times far too often when we take things for granted? Far too often when we do not repent? And even as those here, those of us who profess to be Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe to be saved, there is a need for daily repentance, friends, in our lives as well. Repentance is not something that you do once and forget it then. And so there's a danger sometimes of taking for granted the mercies and the blessings of God toward us. Now, in this very land, in this very island, in this very congregation, God has blessed in times past. There have been times when there have been, and we have rejoiced with them, those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been converted. God has blessed the island. We here, and some maybe here would have remembered better, some others, times of certainly a revival of one way or another, and maybe taking much for granted. For many of ourselves, even going back to 20 or 30 years, would have imagined the state of the church today. Many of ourselves would have believed that things would be the way they are. Were we complacent? Were we careless? Were we lacking repentance when we sin? Is God speaking to us in judgment now for our backslidings and our sinfulness? Yes, God has blessed us in the past. He certainly has. And so, of course, he can do so again. It's not that he cannot do it. Will he do it? Will he do it? How much is that tied into our repentance? Now, of course, we have to be careful in that also, as if our repentance is what causes God's favor alone to be toward us. But we know the importance in Scripture of repentance. and the need of repentance amongst the people of God, and certainly to become a follower of Christ, there has to be a repentance in the life of such a person. But to the Jews here then, there is also, it seems, where the preaching was not at times what it ought to be. Those who were leading them speaks about the trumpet and warning the people, and the trumpet giving an uncertain sound. But that's for us well. And so when the trumpet is sounded and people don't take the warning well, that won't be on the head of the preacher then. But if he doesn't sound the trumpet, you see the opposite as well. He is responsible for that. And so the importance of those who are standing before you with the word of God to seek, as they are enabled, to preach the whole counsel of God, and certainly to preach repentance and the need to live lives according to the word of God. So preachers and those who preach and those who lead and those who hear are here, friends, seen. And I believe here that it speaks about hearers and preachers, but it also speaks, I believe, about all office bearers and all who are Christians, that there's a responsibility that is yours and yours, that this should be seen in your life. Living a life of godliness and living a life where repentance is seen as well. But note here at the same time, friends, of a note of hope that is held out here as well. There is, turn me from your evil ways, for why will you die, says here. But there's hope here. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, as I live, saith the Lord God. Literally translated, can be translated, do I at all desire the death of the wicked? Do I at all desire it? And as Professor Murray puts it, an obvious, emphatic negation here is the answer. No. No, he says. That's not the whole point of what he said here. Do I desire this? No, is what you come. He doesn't desire it. He desires repentance. And that, friends, is what I would like us to think about tonight. Now, I know, of course, that the majority here are those who are already the Lord's people. I'm very aware of that. But nevertheless, friends, I think all of us need to be challenged for the need of repentance. And you here tonight, still without God, without grace in your lives, you need to repent. It is vital, it is necessary. It is something that you cannot keep putting off. And so then, as we apply this to ourselves this evening, we see that so much is seen to be in our own hands. Now, that's not taken away from the sovereignty of God. Of course it isn't. But time and time again in Scripture, we see that this is the emphasis for us to deal with this matter in the way that we must. And let's look then, first of all, at those who are addressed here. Well, as I said at the beginning, addressing Israel, addressing the Jews, however you want to call them, which really is the house of Israel, as we have it here, is really the same today as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in amongst those who are identified as Jews here were those who were not repentant. They were those who were good people. But in amongst the tribes, there were those who were still godless. And this is addressed to all. And so with ourselves as well, amongst the visible church today, there are seen and found a mixture of true believers, and there are those who are only Christians in name. Those who have an outward form, but their hearts are not right before God. Since it has ever been so, of course. But that is fine for another day. What we have to look at is how are things today with ourselves? How are things with you? How are things with me regarding repentance? You have heard, those who have heard the truth, brought up with the word, the commandments of God. Those of you who have congregated for years, as they did here, they used to congregate, they used to come with their offerings to the tabernacle, to the temple. In other words, found amongst those named as the followers of God, outwardly looking exactly the same. You know, if somebody walked in here tonight and looked around, they couldn't tell the difference. They all seemed to be, they would say, everybody here seemed to be here worshiping God. But is that true? Is that true for yourself tonight? Can you say that you came here tonight to worship the Lord? That you came here in repentance? That you came here with a desire to meet with the Lord? To turn, maybe if you haven't so far, to turn your life around by God's grace? Is this how you come? And here the Lord, through Ezekiel, is addressing the people at large. He is saying here to them, turn ye from your evil ways. That ye, there is a plural of God. It is speaking to them all. It's speaking to the whole congregation. The church at large is addressed in the gospel, friends. The church at large is addressed here tonight, the congregation. I pray, addressing each and every one of you, that nobody is left out of this challenge tonight. And when the gospel is preached, that's how it should always be. It should never be so. And that gospel, how often it is, that if you're a believer here tonight, I'm sure that many a time you've sat under a gospel sermon and thankful for it. Yes, it's necessary to come at times with that meat that we need as well to feed us, but the milk as well, and the challenge of the gospel. Oh, friends, that we would not take for granted that we are the Lord's people. Yes, we can have an assurance, but as long as it doesn't become or cause it to be complacent in the ways of God, but that we would desire, whoever we are here tonight, the Lord's people, to be more Christ-like, to realize the need of continual repentance. And if you are not the Lord's, while you may be amongst the congregation, and we are thankful that you are here, this is where you ought to be. But don't make this your God. There is more required of you. And this is what was so here with these people. They were being addressed, it was to all. But it's also, while to the congregation, it's to each of us as individuals, as part of a congregation. I mean, it's for the church. What is the church? The church is not these just four walls. The church is not a building. It's the individuals. The church is always that. Sometimes we make a mistake with that. You see it in the New Testament particularly. You can talk about the church in the house and the gathering of the Lord's people. That's the church, identified by those who gather there. And so those addressed here are, yes, all the congregation, all the people as a whole. But the ye becomes, friend, a you and a thou. It becomes personal. You see, so often we can be sitting in church and listening. We've all done it, sadly. But what is said, well, we can think of others this applies to. And we can think of somebody beside us, or in front of us. Somebody else that comes into your mind. I wish they were here tonight to hear this. For those down there, I hope they hear you. My family, my friends, and everything. What about yourself? What about ourselves? Friends, we cannot put any gospel message, any message from Scripture beyond ourselves. First and foremost, what does it say to me? How is this addressing me and my situation? Am I hearing it for myself? Because God is addressing us in His Word always as individuals through the Word, through the preaching of the Word. Hence, we are blessed as individuals to have God's Word. We are blessed as individuals to have God's Word in your hand. To be tonight somebody who has the privilege of coming together in this congregation. A wonderful privilege in any congregation, in any denomination where Christ is preached. It is a glorious privilege. But we mustn't take that for granted. But God is speaking to us in His Word time and time again. Brought up with the sound, from the sound of the gospel, I'm sure the vast majority, if not all of us here, indeed blessed many times above countless others throughout the world tonight, to have the Bible in your hand. Many people would love to have that. Many Bibles have you got at home yourself? Think about it. And others would not even one page of the Word of God. What are we doing with it? Are we reading it for our benefit, are we reading it so that we can see and hear what God is saying to us? Are we hearing when we come to God's house? Are we just closing our ears to the gospel message? God is speaking to you. God is speaking to us all. He is speaking through his word. We have been given the privilege and the honor of prayer. That's us speaking to God. But God is speaking to us not in an audible voice, but it is here in the pages of scripture. That's what God is speaking. That's what we have to hear. He has left us his word. And so we have to heed it and ask ourselves, what is God saying to me from his word? Friends, we are blessed as the Jews were blessed, as the children of Israel were blessed. Blessed. But you see, being a Jew with all his privileges, what does that make him? More accountable than even the heathen world about him. And I say to you, dear friend here tonight, you are more accountable than those you might despise for never coming to God's house. You are more accountable. Think of the blessings and the privilege. Oh, they don't come to church. They don't darken the door of a church. They forget the Sabbath day. They just do what the priests themselves. They live terrible lives. And it's terrible to see it round about us in our villages. And it is. My dear friend, you here tonight, even if you never stepped inside a church, you are more accountable to God. But I pray you hear the gospel. You hear the word read, nothing else. And so that should ever be before you. And the Lord is saying time and time again in his word, repent and turn. He is saying to you, come ye to the water. Invitation after invitation. Hearken diligently unto me. Turn ye, why will you die? And is it not the same message from the Lord Jesus himself as we have it more and more in the New Testament? You will not come to me that you might have life. And coming to the Lord, that is what is necessary. That is a turning around to the Lord. This is addressed to all and everyone, because that alone is where there is surety and salvation to be found in Christ and with Christ. So, dear friend, the church and you as part of it are being addressed tonight. You have been addressed as a church, as a congregation, and as an individual. And the Lord is challenging you. And the Lord is pleading in his word. And the Lord is bringing before you this thing. And he's warning you. Why will ye die? Oh, you see, everybody's going to die. Of course they are. But you know very well that's not what's spoken about here. You know enough about scripture about that. This is about eternal death. This is talking about damnation. This is talking about hell. This is talking about that awful place prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where you're going. That's what the Lord is saying. Why? Why? Basically saying they don't need you. But it's what will happen. Except you repent. Except you repent. Turn from your evil way. And that, friends, addressed to all. And now we more detail repentance. Secondly, the need of repentance. And repentance is what we have here. Turn. Turn ye from your evil way. So, well, you say, well, my ways are not maybe godly, but I don't think I would describe them as evil. My dear friend, it is God who describes your ways. And that's God's judgment of you tonight, if you haven't repented. And because of that, you know what the end will be. The need of repentance. Here you are tonight, some of you. Once again found here, as we said earlier, identified with the people of God, and yet and yet no repentance in your life. And that applies, don't think either, some of you are younger, well, that's only for the older people. Oh, my dear friend, death can come to you as quickly as it come to the oldest person in the congregation. It is only for the Lord, as it were, in a moment, to withdraw from you the breath of life, and you'll be in eternity. That is the reality, friends. We think that we have to be older and time enough for repentance. Well, that is not what Scripture makes clear to us. Repentance. Now, repentance, as we have it in a shorter catechism, I'm sure the young children will remember the catechism 87. Repentance, a saving grace for a sinner out of a true sense of sin, an apprehension of the mercy of God, and grief and hatred, turn from their sin unto God. Turning from their sin unto God. And what else comes after that? To endeavor after new obedience. A new way of life. That is what repentance is. A new turning away from your old to the new. A turning now from the way that you lived before. And this is the only way to avoid the spiritual death that is brought before us in Scripture. This is the only way. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Turn ye from your evil ways. That is what is necessary, friends. And you see, also remember this, repentance is far more than just a change of mind. Repentance is a change of life. It is not just a few thinking of things in a different way. It is a change of life, a transformation. You know yourselves how you see people, and sadly not so many, but still going on, of course they are. But we remember, all of us remember, not just ourselves, but seeing others. And the transformation, that's what we speak about it. In our religion, we speak about conversion. All the change in people's lives. An astonishing turnaround that you just can hardly believe it. Of what the Lord has done, the change. There's a repentance there. And the repentance is a turning, a change of life. It's far more than just emotions, by the way. Yes, there are some, it's an emotional thing in one sense. They may be in it, often accompanies through repentance. But it's not just emotion. It is a transformation of life. And that is what is asked here when he says turn. What is spoken of here is those who willfully go on in their wicked, godless, sinful lives. That's what they were doing. And the Lord comes, and through the prophet, he said, turn ye. You can hear it in his voice there. There is this pleading with them, pleading in mercy, and God is pleading in Christ tonight with you in mercy. And it is in mercy that he's pleading. It is in mercy that he's warning you. It is in mercy that he's crying out to you, as it were, turn ye from your godless, sinful, wicked ways. There are those here, I have no doubt, who occasionally feel sorry for your sinfulness. And you regret some things that you do. But far too often as well, is it not true that you are like the dog returning to his own vomit, going back again and again to it? But you know what, friends? Sadly, some of us who are Christians fall into that as well. Where we can be found that we have not, we may confess our sins, repent for a time, and what do we find? The struggle with it again and again. Where do we go, though? The only place where we can. And I say to you, dear friend, there has to be a new beginning, a new turning, a And yes, you are not going to be perfect. And yes, you will fall into sin. But there is then a place for you to go and will be accepted as you call upon the Lord. So there's more than just being sorry. There's a turning back, a total forsaking by God's grace of sins. That's true repentance. Turn your back on the way that you used to live. Turn your back on the old habits. And those who refuse to open when Christ knocks at the door of their heart. Is that you tonight? How often has it happened? And the Spirit of God, you know as well as you understand that He's been striving with you. Or you're not saying, no, I never, never want to be a Christian. But you say, not yet. But the Lord is saying, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. It is not for putting off for another day. Dear friends, who are Christian here tonight, how we need to be more zealous in pleading that our loved ones would repent. Your son, your daughter, your children, whoever. How we need to pray for their conversion. How we need to pray for their repentance. This is what is necessary truly for us if we love the Lord. Friends, we all got them in our families. And we all those, we have some of us brought into the world, our children and our children's children. And we see them out there with no great desire to come to the Lord. Oh, friends, let us pray, let us plead with the Lord that they would repent, that the Lord would speak to them, or at least that the Lord is speaking, that they would hear the voice of God. That is what's required for us. That's what they need as well. This is what is necessary. But if you, friend, tonight are here and your own volition and preference, you go on in your wicked, sinful ways, you know the end. With no repentance, it speaks to you here of an awful end. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And it is yourself who wills this. Oh, you say, but I don't want to go to hell. Of course you don't. You're saying, I don't want to die without believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. You're wrong to think that and to say that tonight. Well, my friend, if you don't want to die out of Christ, why aren't you repenting? Why are you carrying on in the way that you've always been? In your godless life. And that's what it is at the end of the day. A godless life. But I don't want to go to hell. Of course you don't. Nobody in the right mind would want to go. But there's a way and there is a way. There is this way and that. There's a right and a left. There's a way to the Lord in repentance. And there's a way to the depths of hell which you're on. So a turning around is necessary for you. You see, that's repentance, and you heard this often enough. It's an about turn. It's not a half turn anyway. We are going this way. We turn that way to the Lord. That's what's needed. You cannot have it both ways. It's a change, a transformation. Indeed, it's a heart transformation by the enabling of the Spirit. And many people then, oh, by the enabling of the Spirit. So that means I don't have to do anything about it. It's God who elects His own. How often some of us hear that? My dear friend, election is a matter for God. Your salvation is a matter for yourself. That's what you need above everything else. You say, it's not up to me. Well, yes, it is. You cannot find one place in Scripture where any unsaved can blame God for being unsaved. Of course, He has His own. And yes, it is true, man cannot save himself. But he can make the choice of whether to turn to the Lord or not. And that's what's called before us time and time again in Scripture. And why is the Lord speaking in this way in our text here? Because he is putting, as it were, the choice into their hands. And he is saying to them, turn ye from your evil ways. That's what's needed. He is saying it to them very clearly. I have no pleasure in your death. Turn you. Why won't you turn? When there is opportunity for you to say that to you tonight. The Lord is willing and able to save you. So why will you not turn to him in repentance? This is what the gospel is. You've heard this time and time and time again. It leaves man without excuse. You have it time. The Lord Jesus, time and time again, we could give many quotes of that. We have it in the epistles of the apostle and elsewhere. No repentance. And no repentant friends means no heaven. And no heaven means an eternal burning in a lake of fire, in hell itself. For those of Noah's day, for those of Sodom and Gomorrah's day, did they die because there was no provision for them? Of course not. They did not repent. The opportunity is there. It was there for them. It is there for you tonight. It is there for you right now. And yet you refuse to turn, return, and turn away from your own way. There is repentance. And our right to put repentance is both a grace and a duty. And so the Lord is saying here to the Jews, and he is saying it to you and I, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will ye die, you and the congregation in Stornoway, to die? There is no need for it. And so those addressed there, the church, what is required? Repentance. And there is a promise surely then, implied here thirdly as well. If you will but repent. Life is what is offered here. As I live, saith the Lord. He is swearing by himself. An astonishing thing. I think I heard about that recently in another sermon. Swearing by himself. How solemn that is. That this is what he's promising you. It is not a maybe. It is a definite that is brought before you here. So they say, therefore, there's no reason for any in this congregation to be lost. You know, friends, that every single person in here tonight and those listening in can be in heaven one day. That's the reality of what the gospel offers. But will all here be in heaven one day is another matter. What I'm saying to you is what is clear, repentance. It begins there truly for you. Have you repented? And here in this text, it is obvious the Lord is willing through Christ to be able to save in the others. And as Professor Murray speaking about this text, he says, grace is implied and fully and freely held out in this text. And that's what it is. There is the need for repentance, but there's an implication, there's a promise implied, you know, for the other side of the coin is there. And that, friends, what you must grasp onto, this is the hope that you can have and do have. The revealed, if we see the revealed will here, that any and all who repent will be saved. As I live, what would be more sure than that and the promise? Of whatever your past sins, of whatever your past wickedness of life, it need not keep you from repenting now, for seeking pardon now. No, my friends, some of you here are not Christians yet. If some of those here, if you knew the past life of some of those here tonight who are the Lord's now, how evil was in their lives, our lives, I should say. How we godlessness was in our lives. You wouldn't maybe believe when you look at some here tonight who are professing Christians and maybe they look so good and they look so sinless. Ah, my friend, there's not one here who has been saved by grace who haven't been saved by grace and grace alone, who were steeped in sin, maybe even far worse than you. But there is hope. And this is what is implied in the gospel here for you. Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the opposite. It is life, life that shall never end, eternal life. So then, why will you not turn? Is the thought of heaven so dreadful to you? Is seeking holiness in this life is so awful and unnatural and unwanted by God? No, you see. Well then, why will you not turn? Why will you not lay hold of Christ by faith? Why will you not turn in repentance to the Lord? As he is freely offered in the gospel. What's keeping you? There are some of you here who have been so faithful at the means of grace. Some I'm sure listening in as well. So faithful in the means of grace for so long. Why? Is this it? Is this all you think you need? They shouldn't have us said, well, all of them were together and there were good people amongst them and the rest were with them and maybe they thought that's all that was needed, but the word itself makes clear to us that the Lord knows what your heart is. So don't depend on being just in church, part of the congregation. There's a need for you to repent personally, to come to the Lord personally, to ask for forgiveness personally. And there has to be a turn. You know, some people, they seem to imagine maybe more in their day than has been for a long time. Imagine that they can, as they say, add Christ to their lives without subtraction of sin. But that is all that they need. They can just say, I'm a Christian, and say a little prayer and that is it. And sin still has the same place in their life, going on with their old way. I tell you, friend, it cannot be. It cannot be. There has to be a turning. There has to be a repentance. There has to be a casting away of the old way of life. That's a mark of those who have come to repent truly and to love the Lord. God's justice and God's holiness cannot allow such a thing and cannot and will not allow such a person into heaven. Oh, friends, to realize that the judge is knocking at the door of your heart tonight through the gospel, I pray. You hear the word, nothing else is what I say. It's the word itself in the hand of the Spirit. Hear it, listen for it, apply it to your own life. This is what you need. You know, friends, all of us are soon to be in heaven or in hell. It's a fearful thought that I may be looking out tonight and my eye may fall on someone who are going to a lost eternity. Who knows? I don't. But you know where you stand with God. You know, if there's just an outward form with you, or has there been true repentance in your life? You see, friends, there is no third way. We are coming towards the end of another year. And maybe some here resolved, oh, before the year is out, I'm going to change my life. Well, friend, here we are. And we're not even spared, we're not even promised another moment or a day or an hour even, or mind the end of the day. Is this year, if you're spared, it's not much as ground? Is this year going to turn you young people as well as the older? Is this year going to turn and you're still in that same lost condition? A necessity to repent. And repentance, which is Calvin, goes hand in hand with faith. One cannot live without the other. Yet they are distinguished. But when there's repentance, there will be faith. And where there's faith, there is also repentance. So that's the question for yourself tonight. Is there repentance in your life? Have you repented of your sins? Do you know what it is to know the Lord in that way? You know, I've spoken of hell tonight for those who will not repent. But you see, true repentance begins with not so much the fear of hell, well, that's in it, but true repentance begins with hatred of your sin and what your sin has done. See Christ in that. So, friend, pray that the Lord will show you what your sin is and show you what hell is and show you what Christ has done and show you why he suffered and died. And if then, my dear friend, you still won't repent, the agony and the torment of a lost eternity awaits you. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Make no mistake about it. I am not saying that to you tonight for any hatred or anything else. I pray that it's in love, as others should speak to you, as the believers should speak to you. But they want you to face the reality. Somebody has said that the most awful, fearful part of hell will be there and coming to the reality too late to repent. Oh, but there's still on mercy's ground, we feel, well, there's hope, and of course there is. But imagine coming to too late to repent. That certainly is the case in hell. But my friend, don't imagine that it cannot be in this world as well. That after all the opportunities that God has given you, that the day might come in before you leave this world. And others have spoken about it in the past. And God is saying, enough is enough. Leave them to themselves until death takes. What a fearful thought that is. Dear friend, seek the Lord tonight. Seek the Lord tonight. He is gracious and merciful and willing to save. Ask any Christian here what he has done for them. Seek the Lord. Turn ye. Why will ye die, O congregation of Stone? Let us pray.